I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me for a few minutes tonight to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I'm reading verses 1 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. That's reading verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read one verse from Colossians chapter 2. This is a statement against those who have veered away from Christ and they're worshiping angels. They've erred doctrinally. They're puffed up with their fleshly minds, Paul said. And then in verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. I'd like to use the story we've read from Mark chapter 14, where this dear woman anointed the head of Jesus, and use this little phrase in Colossians 2, about holding the head. And I'd like to continue and conclude my emphasis in these few services on the headship of Christ. Tonight, I'd like to address our responsibility, our response to His headship. And I want to preach on the headship of Christ in the anointing of His head. The headship of Christ in the anointing of His head. Now, the fact that she anointed His head indicates she had great esteem for Christ. She's honoring Him. She's magnifying His supremacy. She's showing her affections and her submission to Christ. He's the head. And she recognizes it. She responds to it by pouring out this expensive ointment upon His head and anointing. We had an interesting experience with the grandchildren from St. Louis. Luke is 11 now and Gwyneth is 5. Gwyneth is so colorful, we have several names for her. Some days we address her very officially, Gwyneth. And then sometimes we have to address her somewhat in a directing way, Gwen. And then there's our affectionate name, Goosey. She's quite a personality. Both of them are. Their mother opened up an email account for them to send notes to us and us to send notes to them. Luke is rather matter of fact. He tells us to the very exact moment how long soccer practice lasts. Or he'll talk to us about the school day. And he has it all down. And then Gwenna speaks and her mother types it in. We got this email from them, I guess it was over a year ago now. She was 4 and he was 10, and he told us all about what he was doing. He started taking karate and we got all of that information. And then Gwen spoke up and her mother typed it in. She said, "I love you, Papa Tom. I miss you, Papa Tom. I love you, Grandma. I miss you, Grandma." And then it was italicized. Where this come from, we have no idea. But she said, "I celebrate your love." Well, that's what I'd like to do for a few minutes tonight. I'd like to celebrate his love. His headship is to be honored. We can't anoint his head with literal oil tonight, but we can respond to him. We can come near him. We can esteem him and submit our lives to him. I'd like to mention several thoughts from these verses and encourage us to hold to his head. Cling to his headship. May we never act as though we are the head. No, we're just the little body that's favored to be joined to Christ. I want to begin with verses 1 and 2 where we have what I'm calling the spiritual distinction. It's very clear that she is not fitting in with the attitude of the day. While she's getting ready to pour oil on his head, the religious leaders are getting right ready to crucify him. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes, there they are now, sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. They're wanting to kill him. However, they're too religious to do it today. They said, "We can't do this on the feast day. Good night. There'll be so many people, we'll have an uproar. This would be the wrong timing." So they're religious enough to honor a day, but they're hellish enough to conspire how they can crucify Christ. Isn't that a sad plight? Many in this era in which you and I live are religious enough to honor a day or honor a time or honor a place. But they're so carnal and so natural in their thinking that they would crucify Christ again if they had the opportunity. But while they're conspiring about crucifying Christ, Jesus is in Simon the leper's house. Isn't that interesting? He kept that title. Simon the leper. Same thing with Matthew the tax collector. Rahab the harlot. The name seemed to live on with them. It distinguishes who they are. And yet being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. While they're conspiring to slay Christ, and while others are just satisfied to be companions at the table, this woman is set apart by her yearning to honor Christ. Her deep-seated desire to show her affections to the Lord Jesus. Oh, that somehow in this age of religious apostasy and in this age of spiritual blindness, that some of us may make our way, as it were, to Simon the leper's house. And there sacrifice our life on the Lord Jesus' head. He's the head and should be celebrated. The spiritual distinction, this is a different heart. This is a different desire, isn't it? This is a different interest. She comes to anoint Christ, which brings me to a further emphasis. She did not come just to see him, and she did not come just for the meal. She came to anoint the Lord Jesus. I would mention the special determination in her anointing Christ. Yes, there's the spiritual distinction. She's not of the same attitude of the others who are ready to crucify Christ. But there's the special determination. Firstly, she was determined to approach him. Then came a woman. Her desire was to get near Christ. Her interest was to celebrate Christ. And she draws nigh. She moves close to the Savior, to the head of Christ. And then she not only was determined to approach him. And by the way, if you're determined to move in his direction, neither hell or earth can hinder you from doing so. You can draw nigh to God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. No, and you may have to go through some other things to get to him, but may God help you to determine to seek his face. Not to stand on the outside and tell everybody what you think, but to move in with him. We see her determination to approach him, and then we see her determination to anoint him. She didn't come to show him her beautiful alabaster box. She didn't come to let everybody know that she was willing to sacrifice this very valuable ointment. She came to anoint Jesus. She came to appreciate Christ. She came to honor him. She came to magnify his supremacy. She came to bow before him, to submit to him. The special determination. There's so many verses we could refer to. But I would remind you that it's time to seek the Lord in these hours. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. May our hearts move in His direction. By His grace, moving in Him and honoring his headship. Let me hasten on to verse 3, the remainder of verse 3. She not only came with an alabaster box, but the Bible says it was a box of spikenard, very precious. The word indicating of great price, of great value. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. I would mention, thirdly, not only the spiritual distinction. She's not like everybody else. She's moving towards Christ. And I would not only underline the special determination. She has it in her heart to approach him and to anoint him. And she does exactly that. Somebody said, well, you just have to know my schedule. You just have to understand my day. No, you just determine somewhere, somehow, sometime, you're going to seek his face. You're going to move towards him. Would you notice, thirdly, the sacrificial devotion. The sacrificial devotion. Now, here's how I am. I don't have to have the expensive ointment. But I like the vase. I like to take what it came in and set it upon the shelf. Enjoy its rare beauty. But beauty was the last thing on her mind. She'd come to give her all to Christ. She'd come to sacrifice her most valuable prize to Christ. And so she had an alabaster box of ointment, very precious, or of value, and she broke the box. Now the alabaster would have been rather easily fragmented, being somewhat a stiff product, yet, as you know, something like a tile, a thin tile. And she broke that alabaster container. The idea is she fractured it. She caused it to come apart. By the way, it's impossible to worship and give your all to Christ and many things in your life not come apart. It all loses its value. It all loses its significance. And she fractured the container. She broke the box. And she not only fractured the container, but the oil, the spikenard that was in it, very precious, of great value, it flowed out. There was a fracturing of the container and there was a flowing out from the container. She poured it. This is intentional. It's sacrificial devotion. It's willing to pay the price to walk near him. It's being willing to give that is most dear to you to the cause of Christ and his name. Sacrificial devotion. I mentioned Abraham on last night. Can you imagine being willing to offer your only son, Isaac? And yet, he paid that price. He was willing. He obeyed God. And God said, now I see that thou obeyest me. And he brought a ram into the thicket, a sacrificial animal. Listen, our sacrificial offerings will be met with divine offerings and divine blessings. We cannot outgive God. We cannot outlove God. We cannot outappreciate God. We cannot out-honor God. He said, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you. Amen. So she burst her box. She broke the box and poured it on his head. Now, this seems to be one of two such occurrences in the New Testament. One has a woman by the name of Mary pouring it out on his head and on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. But here this woman simply pours it upon his head. And the anointed Christ is anointed by this life. He is recognized in his anointed position. He is honored in his relationship to the blessed Holy Spirit. And she pours oil. She poured it upon his head. It's a picture of you and me being willing to, for God to break our lives and to pour our all on the headship of Christ. Submit our complete lives to the authority of the Lord Jesus, the sacrificial devotion. Then I can't help but say something about the attitude of the disciples. They're not called disciples here, but they are elsewhere. At any rate, there were some in the crowd, verse 4 says, that had indignation within themselves. They're upset about it. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Oh boy, I'm going to call this the scornful denunciation. Now you would think everybody would be so glad that this woman broke her alabaster box and anointed the head of Jesus. You'd think everybody would say, oh, I tell you, that's just precious. That's wonderful that she would recognize Christ in this way and respond to his headship. But no, they said, why this way? By the way, that same spirit speaks in our day. Someone gives their all to Christ and a mother or a father says, why this waste? That boy, that girl's got a life to live. And now they've submitted all to Christ. What a waste! What a waste! In 1968, God sent a measure of revival to my home church. Then it spread to the First Baptist, to the country church, Macedonia Church, and then to the First Baptist Church. God moved mightily in our community, and I'm a product of that working of grace, and I'm grateful. Amen. However, one of my buddies supposedly got his life right with God during that time. We prayed together, sang together, worshiped together, rejoiced together. And when we started going to all the meetings around, his mother put a quietus on it. She said, well, he may go to these meetings, but my boy's not going to turn out to be a preacher, and my boy's not going to be a missionary. Well, she's right. He never has got off the hill where he was raised. He stayed right there with mama. Never giving himself to God. Of course, you and I believe God would have had to call him anyhow, not mama's wishes. But I want to say, beloved, there she was, putting down submission to the headship of Christ. A mama, afraid her children going to get more God in their lives than she's got in hers. Or a daddy. Well, I'm concerned about them. I tell you, they want to go to church more than they want to eat at the table here with us. Well, praise God that they've got a desire to go to this house. I say, of course, I realize it's possible. My dear old mother said to me, I was 16 years old, I believe God had filled me with the Holy Ghost for the first time, and I was just all out for Jesus. And mother was watching it, you know. And she said to me, nobody, I don't believe this, and she doesn't believe it, but it's an old saying. She said to me one afternoon, you can get too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I said, what do you mean? She said, I mean that I've been taking the garbage out for you. I got so caught up I'd forgot to do my chores. Well, I believe we ought to do what we're responsible to do. But if somebody's got an appetite for God, fan the flame, encourage it, pray for them, stand with them. Don't make light of it. Why all this waste? That boy's got such an aptitude. He's got such mental ability. All he's doing, studying the Bible. Isn't that tragic? What a waste. She says she wants to sing the gospel. Why, she's got the ability to be an accountant. She's got the ability to make a lot of money. That seems to be all that's on some people's minds in our day. But if they've got a desire to walk with God, who wants to get in the way of that? Wow, this waste. Let me dabble around here at the church for a few minutes. Why we have to sing so many songs? That's unnecessary. Wow, this waste. Waste of time. Then he tells the preacher, we didn't come to get out. We came to get in. Wow, this waste. Everybody else, these churches say, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, and they don't know anything about worshiping God, most of them don't. Who wants to sacrifice that? Who wants to throw that away? To go through a little 1, 2, 3, go through a little ritual. And so their attitude, their scornful attitude was, why this waste? Why this waste? It's like a member of my family, bless his heart, said, Tom doesn't have a life. All he does is go to church. I guess that meant several things I'm supposed to do like them. I want to tell you, dear friend, that's a very pitiful attitude to have towards God's people who are giving themselves to the headship of Christ. Why this waste? Now they're going to have him teaching a Sunday school class before long, and he won't even have any time with his family. Why this waste? Well, I think Jesus said something about us forsaking family. Friends, that doesn't mean that we abuse our privileges in family life. I'm talking to you about sacrificial devotion, being scorned. Notice they not only had a bad attitude, but they had a big alternative. I mean, this sounds pretty bad after they said, oh, this waste. This is a bunch of waste. Her pouring all that expensive ointment out on Christ's head, all on Christ. And then they said, we could have sold that ointment and had enough money to give it to the poor. They had a big alternative. You ever notice when some people make light of one area of Christian service, they follow it with some, well, we could do this. We might could do this for our neighbors. We might could do this for the community. Don't give yourself totally to God. But we might could get some money up for the poor. Well, I commend them for giving it at all. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. The scornful denunciation. It's impossible to want to give your all in the appreciation of Christ and not hear somebody make light of it. Let's go back over our thoughts. Then I'd like to give one final emphasis tonight. There's the spiritual distinction in her anointing his head. She's not like that crowd over at the temple. They're trying to figure out when they can crucify Jesus. Then there's the special determination. She came to anoint his head. That's why she was there. Then there's the sacrificial devotion. She broke the box and she poured out the ointment. Some say up to a year's wages in this expensive ointment. She poured it all out on Christ. Then there's the scornful denunciation. This is a bunch of waste. This could have been kept and saved, and the 300 pence, we could have given that to the poor. Then lastly, Jesus takes what she did and points us to the cross. I would mention the substantial description of her anointing his head. Jesus said in verse 8, "She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Jesus said, first of all, let me describe her motive. It's me she's got her heart set on. It's me that she has her affections set toward. It's me whom she loves. It's me that she has a heart for. It's me she hath prepared my body for the burying. By the way, others may think that's a waste, I tell you. But the Lord Jesus knows our motive. Huh? Paul said, as an old man, not as a young, ardent Christian, but as an old man in his own hired house, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'm saying, beloved, it's one thing for us to see his headship in Adam, to see his headship in Isaac, to see his headship in Joseph, to see his headship in Moses, to see his headship in David and in others. It's another thing for us to respond properly to his headship. Jesus said her motive was towards me. Towards me. Is that our driving concern tonight? For to me to live is Christ. Christ. It's Christ first. It's Christ through and through. It's Christ in the end. It's Christ forever. Oh, that we might appreciate him, honor him, esteem him, love him, heap our affections upon him. You'll notice as well, he not only said, described her motive as being for Christ, but he described her memorial would be for her. He said, from now on, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Here we are in June of 2014, and we're still talking about her. Huh? I don't know who that crowd was that murmured, but I know this woman got in the story forever, brother. It's a memorial. It's more than having my name out on the front of a building corner, or it's more than having some special word written on a gravestone. It's more than having a little bragging piece written in some paper. No, we're talking about Christ giving a memorial for her. She gave her motivation for him, and he gave his memorial for her. Now, I can't explain all of this, but somehow this woman's anointing the head of Jesus identifies with the cross of Christ, part of the gospel. She anointed his body for the burying, which came off of the cross. I want to tell us tonight and remind us tonight that as we genuinely pant after Jesus, as we truly seek after Jesus, as we definitely honor his headship, his rule, his authority, I say, beloved, the hour comes when we see that it's not only for him, our heart's desire for him, but he keeps us in the picture. In some way, in some particular form, the memorial is spoken of throughout the whole world. There's an identification with the cross. It's a death blow to the self-life, which is the experience of the cross. Some years ago, I read an interesting story about this painter, this artist, who had been hired to paint a beautiful picture on the underside of a cathedral dome. For months, he worked off of the scaffold, or what they would call in that day a high trapeze, not a flying trapeze, but something that could be moved from one side to the other of the area he was painting. And he finally came to his last finishing touches. It was a beautiful work of art. And he backed up, having put the last touch of the brush on the painting. He backed up and so absorbed the whole work, it was like he was intoxicated up here on the scaffold. And he backed up a little further. All the time, one had been helping him, a helper, a servant had been helping him. And as he backed up to the edge of the scaffolding, not realizing that one more step would plunge him to his death, his helper took a can of paint and threw it up on the beautiful artwork. And the man lunged at him and said, "You've ruined my picture! You've ruined my picture!" And the servant said, "Yes, sir, I ruined your picture, but I saved your life." Dear friend, God is in the business of messing up a lot of our pictures to bring us to full submission to his authority and headship. Somebody said, "Well, I planned on this, I expected this." Yeah, but God can ruin our picture, but save our lives and glorify himself through the likes of us. May the Holy Ghost help us to have the proper response to his headship.